Got to move the microphone a bit. Just saying. Also, want to y'all know just that we have the song slides up there. Jody is getting very good at doing this in the back. I don't know if he wants me to brag on what I'm going to. Being able to, he's actually putting slides up there on the fly. And that scared me. I never tried. Well, I was never back there, guys, up here. But that's not easy. So I know I said about Jody helping before. But he's actually getting pretty handy at that. So double your pay, sir. If you would look at Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles, we know there's an account of a Samaritan here. And I want to read it quickly to you, make a few points, and then the lesson will be yours. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What's written in the law? What readest thou?" He answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as itself." He said to him, "Thou hast answered right." This sounds like this morning's sermon, doesn't it? And he said to him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Who's a neighbor? And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and which stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and then passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set on him his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spends more, when I come again, I'll repay thee." Now, which one of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now, in our time, we have fake everything. We have jewelers that have mastered the art of making fake gold and fake diamonds, and still people want them. One of my favorite things is you have oak furniture that's just veneer and over particle board. That's just wrong. You have cars that are made more out of fiberglass than anything else. You have coins now that have no precious metals in them. They just look like they do. More coins used to have more precious metals in them. And to top it all, we have, instead of salt, no salt. We have, instead of real milk, skim milk. That's just crime. We have sweetened low, and we have what they call Molly McButter. Have you seen that? In the South, we have more of the, I can't believe it's not butter, right? And so things are more and more counterfeit. They're more and more not genuine. Now, this has not escaped Christianity for us in our time. Now, we know Jesus said, "The golden rule is, therefore, whatsoever you want men to do to you, also do to them." But now, that's kind of replaced by this idea of the gold-plated rule. That gold-plated things are things that look good on that side, but they're not the real, genuine thing. They don't have the value that real gold does. The idea is, if it looks good, but only on the outside. It's just not pure. Now, as this might apply to us, let's apply that idea, this principle, to the parable we just heard for just a moment, just in a few ways. For example, being gold-plated would mean, like in the parable we just read, You can be religious, but not righteous, right? In this prayer of the Good Samaritan, you have the priest and Levite. They live by this gold-plated rule. They did not cause the man suffering that was robbed, but they did not come to help him either. They neither heard him nor helped him. But the Bible tells us that we should be those who are proactive and help. In fact, many will be lost not because of what they do, but because what they fail to do. James chapter 4, verse 17 tells us, to him that knoweth to do good and does not, to him it is sin. And so many believe because they don't commit murder, they're going to be saved. But the fact is, we have to be righteous, not just not evil. Philippians 3:9 says, we must be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus. The righteousness which is in God by faith. James 2:26 tells us that faith without works is dead, being alone. We also know from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. But friends, we have to remember that we're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26-27 tell us that we're children of God by faith when we're baptized into Christ. In fact, the point is this. It's possible to be religious but not righteous, right? Because righteousness comes from God in following God's law and doing God's things, not just not being overtly evil. That's not being righteous. This gold-plated metaphor goes further, though, for we could say, for example, a gold-plated Christian is harmless, but not helpful. A gold-plated Christian is harmless, but not helpful. Like I said, these priests and Levite that walked on the other side of the road, they didn't cause the harm, but they did not help either. Why not? Were they in a hurry to get where they're going? Maybe. Maybe they could say, well, I would help them, but I'm not a doctor, so I'm not really the guy that should help. The fact is, they were the people there, and they could have helped. Even though they weren't a doctor, they could have helped like the Samaritan. They could have done something, right? Oftentimes in church work, we're not the most qualified, but we're the ones that are there. So what can we do? We might not be the best personal evangelist, but what can we say to help someone see the importance of the gospel? We may not be the best ones there, but we can do something. We may not be harming, but we have to be helpful. We can't forget that interaction. In Galatians 6:10, we see, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially they of the household of faith. Now, this is a word in principle, because in the Old Testament, if you look at Judges chapter 5, verse 23, notice this parallel. God cursed the city of Moraz because they did not come to help. They did not come to the help of the Lord. This is a place that could have helped God's people. They had a chance and opportunity, but they chose not to and said God cursed them. Not because they were perfect, but because they failed to help when they could. Many church works aren't harmed by people, but they still die because people don't pitch in and help. And this is especially seen, friends, when our numbers are few. There might be a part of the church work that we can do just because we're able, not because we're the best at it, but because we can help. Because we can do something to help. And one thing to remember is when Judgment Day comes, we look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. When Jesus parted the sheep and the goats, what was the difference? Some helped. They fed those that are hungry. They clothed those that were naked. They went to visit those in prison. Or they didn't. And they neglected what they could do. Number next, a gold-plated Christian is one who's clean on the outside but not on the inside. Again, the outside looks great, but the inside doesn't. Now, this goes back to Matthew 23, verse 25 through 27. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Pharisees clean first that which is outside, or clean that which first, which is within the cup and platter, then that which is outside may be clean also. They were making things clean that looked clean. They would take the sepulchers, the gravestones, the place where you put the dead, and they would make sure they were white. They would put whitewash on them. But inside there were dead men's bones. You can make a cup clean, but is the inside dirty? Was the point Jesus made there. He'd make sure you clean the inside of the cup. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. Now, what's this mean in the church? This means sometimes we have Christians today that are Sunday Christians, but Monday sinners. Now, we all, again, face some kind of gradation of this situation. But he said, don't be those who are just gold-plated, is the point. A gold-plated Christian goes 1 mile, but not two. In Matthew 5:41, Jesus talked about going the extra mile. The gold-plated Christian, the gold-plated, that's a hard word, gold-plated Christian, you know, he's someone who does what often we do today. He asks for the bare minimum he can do to be righteous. When it comes to going to church, do I have to go to every service? Do I need to go every Sunday? Is that what I do? How many services must I attend? How much evangelism really do I have to do just to squeak in and get by? That's gold-plated, but it's not golden, is it? A gold-plated Christian forgives but does not forget. We know Jesus told us to forgive, but sometimes those grudges remain. That's not being golden, is it? It's being gold-plated. Jesus taught, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now remember Jeremiah 31, verse 34. We have to go ahead and do as God. And he says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now we could argue about whether God's omniscient or not, or what this verse means. But the point of it is, you won't hold it against us. That even if God can't technically forget a thing, it's as if he has, because it will be held against us no more. So people may do us wrong, and we may say, I forgive you, but can we really be of those who will say, I will not hold it against you anymore? Being gold and not just gold-plated. And a gold-plated Christian attends church, but maybe does not worship. Sometimes it's hard to keep our minds where they need to be with worship. I've talked about this a lot lately. You probably think I'm a broken record, but I know it's been on my mind a lot. The idea of keeping my mind in what I'm doing. Now, minds sometimes, instead of being where they should be in worship, can be somewhere else. They can be trying to solve a problem from work, or planning a noon meal, or just thinking about yesterday's football game, or a couple days ago football game, or criticizing a sermon or a song of service because things aren't just right. Maybe the pitch is too high or too low, or the sermon is too long or not long enough. Like, has that ever happened? I don't know. But being gold-plated means our heart isn't really in it when it comes to worship. But Jesus commands us to worship him, John 4:24, to worship him in spirit and in truth. So the right way, but the right attitude, which means we're present, where we don't give God very much of our time. And so we can come together a couple times a week and give God that time and be present for that. Sometimes we wonder, where's God in our lives? God may wonder about us, where are we when it comes to worship and our dedication. We can be here and not be here. Again, the idea of being present. You know, I've been married long enough to where I know sometimes my wife is talking to me and I'm just going, And she will say, where are you? I'm right here. What might she say, husbands? No, you're not. Where are you? You're somewhere else. You may be here in presence, but not your mind is somewhere else. What are you thinking about? That's very common. We understand how this works in our marriages, just what to think about when it comes to the church. We are to have as much as in me is attitude, as Paul in Romans 1:15, or as a what I do have I give to you attitude, and from Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. It said, what I have is yours. As much as in me is, I will go preach the gospel to you that in Rome also. That was very important. And we found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever your hands find to do, do with all your might. Again, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. The fact is, God deserves better than gold-plated Christianity. He deserves the real thing, the real gold. And God loves us all so much that he gave his son on the cross for our sins that we committed. Remember, these sins we committed, we're guilty of, most of them were committed willingly, on purpose. But you're here today, hopefully, because you realize that God deserves, we can give him in a way that brings him glory and brings us peace as we serve him. So don't be gold-plated. Let's make sure to give God our best. Let's be gold in our service to God. If someone here has a need to respond to the invitation we're going to give right now, maybe you want the prayers of the church or you want to be restored, or if you've fallen away, if you would please come as we stand and sing this hymn.